if you're just stepping into geo, the biggest thing to understand is that AI systems don't look at your brand the way that Google traditionally does. It's not about ranking pages. It's really evaluating the brand as a whole, the trust signals, and the clarity. So you have to work at the foundation first. You have to go through the technical piece, make sure your brand signals are consistent. Think of the product information in a structured way and be sure that your expertise is actually visible.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, we release 5-episode mini-series that dive deep into one e-commerce marketing topic. It could be a channel like email or SEO or Facebook ads, or a big topic like acquisition, retention, or analytics. In each of the episodes, we release a new one on Wednesdays. I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. And then, after each 5-episode mini-series, we take a week off to give you time to take action on what you've learned. At the moment, we've been spending 5 episodes exploring customer acquisition tips for 2026, and we could not do a series on customer acquisition at the moment without a dive into GEO. That's Generative Engine Optimization, aka how to appear on ChatGPT, Perplexity, Gemini, etc., etc. And we've got an epic guest to take us through this. She's going to be talking about why 2026 is the year to get your geo house in order. She's going to be taking us through the 4 key steps to doing that and sharing lots of cool nuggets of advice as we go along. I think this is going to be a particularly good episode for you if you're feeling a bit overwhelmed by it all, because my guest is super pragmatic, super straightforward, and is really getting to the nuts and bolts of what you need to do. So it's very much a helpful episode, I think. Anyway, let me know what you think. This is the last in this current series, so remember there will not be an episode next week, giving you time to catch up on any of our customer acquisition series that you've missed, share it with your team, and more importantly, take some action. Do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because my guest will be sharing her quick fire insider tips, which are excellent, and I will be sharing my take on it all and outlining some other ways we can help you. Are you spending serious money on ads but growth has slowed? You are not alone. You need to talk to Launch. Launch is the performance growth agency that's powered by happiness. They've helped brands like Weirdfish, Braemont, Crocus, Green People and Fourth Glade Natural Dog Food to scale their advertising globally, measure it effectively and drive new customer acquisition profitably. If your advertising has hit a plateau or your measurement needs some attention, Launch can help. Find out how by taking the Launch Growth Diagnostic at keepop.com/launch. That's L-A-U-N-C-H. With 12 questions, it takes just 3 minutes. No pitch, just useful insights. Launch, find what's broken, fix it, grow. Take the Launch Growth Diagnostic now at keepop.com/launch. In this episode, I'm chatting with customer acquisition expert Lisa Wendland. Lisa has spent the last 15 years getting deep into what works in digital marketing and operations, both in e-commerce and beyond. In 2021, she joined omnichannel agency Blue Wheel to both improve ROI for clients and speed up internal production, managing over $2 billion in client ad spend across Amazon, Walmart, and D2C. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Chloe.
Very cool to have you here. How did you find your way into the wonderful world of digital customer acquisition?
Oh my goodness, great question. I went to Michigan State University for my undergrad, and throughout my experience, what I loved most was storytelling. And I didn't necessarily know I was going to get deep into marketing, but understanding, you know, any sort of journey and the layout of a narrative, right? How you get from A to B, and then applying that in an entrepreneurial setting really resonated with me, right? So when I was in school, I was helping brands think about their customers and how they reach their audiences. Because again, my strengths were storytelling. I had a lot of digital classes and really focused in that. So then when I graduated, I had the opportunity to join Quicken Loans in 2011. And so that's a, you know, major mortgage company now, you know, it's Rocket Mortgage, and learned a lot very quickly. And that company has this sort of agency internally. And I had the opportunity to learn so much very quickly and then jump into the agency world and lean into this e-commerce space. Now, to give you a little bit more background, Quicken Loans was launching the Rocket Mortgage app at the time. So it was all about getting a mortgage online on your own as much as possible. So the customer journey is just very critical as far as, you know, what are all those steps? What are the legalities? How much can a consumer kind of dig in on their own? And then, like I said, getting into the agency space and focusing more on e-com. Now I could see, you know, for something that's a little bit more of a trivial commitment, like buying dishes for your home, right? Maybe you're getting a new dinnerware set. The steps, it's a lot lower level commitment, but you can think about the same sorts of things where, you know, they're building memories with this product. They're trying to fit an everyday need. They're, you know, obviously solving for something. And then you can go into sort of more niche purchases, right? Maybe it's fitness equipment, maybe it's luxury apparel for a special event. So I just really have always loved digging into the journeys and thinking about, okay, where is someone coming from? And where do we need to be online in order for that connection to happen? So it wasn't in a neat box. It was just something where, you know, I really loved critical thinking and creativity and technology. So when I could piece those together with entrepreneurship and help brands dig into what makes sense for them, that's where I really found my stride.
And probably one of the biggest examples of that at the moment that brands are dealing with is what we're talking about today, which is Geo and getting found by ChatGPT and all the others. It's one we're hearing increasing amounts of noise about. How important is it to get your house in order at the moment for this? You know, like I hear some people going, oh, it's only 1% of traffic. And then other people going, but it's growing so fast. So do you think this is a must do for 2026 to get your geo house in order?
Yes, absolutely. So the way that it is right now, and you made a good call out, like, there are such mixed results for brands and businesses, right? Maybe you're a service business, not a brand. You know, the issue is that Google, let's think about it this way. So for SEO with Google, you're trying to land on the first page of results, right? Hopefully at the top. You have and have for a long time have had ads that are pushing all the content down lower. Now you have the Google AI overview and the ads and then the links. So if you are not competing for the Google AI overview, you're nowhere near the top. And this is happening in other platforms as well. You know, now more and more people are searching in ChatGPT, Perplexity. Maybe they're using another tool that's not in the, you know, in the top LLMs right now. And the content that is put onto sites for SEO, there's obviously a rhyme and reason behind it to get onto the Google pages, but the AI overviews is different. It's building on top of that. So you have to have those basics for SEO. But now, you know, with the like Google AI overview covering, you know, the top of the page, you have to think about what's answering the questions. What is on your site that's going to answer, you know, is this the best wool socks for a up north winter cozy getaway, right? So it is more niche, which is what I find interesting about it, because it resonates with some of those lower numbers. Maybe somebody's not placing, you know, maybe they have wool socks, but they've never thought about putting that customer story into their website or their branding so that they could be the it for, you know, cozy winter socks for winter up north.
One of the super fascinating things about this at the moment is, like, SEO, we've had one target here in the Western Hemisphere. We've had one target for the whole of my career, which is get on Google. We don't. Yeah, there's Bing, but there was Yahoo, there was Jeeves, aging myself, but it was get on Google, work out how the Google algorithm works. Now it's everything, isn't it? It's like, we hear about, obviously we want to be getting good results with the Google version to get the, you know, the place on the SERPs page, as you were just explaining. But then we know that consumers are also having conversations with AI that are leading to recommendations that are happening on, who knows, like, you know, as you said, one or another of the platforms. Is there much of a difference at the moment in our understanding of how to rank, for want of a better word, on the different ones? Or is it at the moment the same actions will help you in all of them?
Yeah, great question. So with SEO, you know, it's shifted because we, you know, had ranking in the top 10 blue links. We had keyword optimization. We had backlink building, making sure there's authority, right? And you're connected to other sites that can speak to, yes, this is the right pick. This is the right result based on what the person's searching for. And I love how you brought up Jeeves, because that ask, you know, the aspect of someone asking for the solution ultimately, right, with from the search engine. Now search is AI powered. And so, as you mentioned, it's not just Google, it's ChatGPT, it's Perplexity, and brands have to be trusted by the AI systems. And all of that content has to align with the AI summarization, the context, and then what we would call the EEAT signals, right? And thinking about how you have that experience, expertise, authority, and trustworthiness. So that is the next level where, you know, for SEO, you could just fix some technical performance issues, right? The page load time, or, you know, how the indexation is going, the crawlability. Now, this next level is that content strategy that's supporting your revenue generating pages and getting the right traffic to your site. I think we've all seen, you know, you might get a result for what you're looking for, but it's not necessarily a product. It's like somebody's tips on how to do it. And it's some lifestyle blog, right? It's not necessarily like this is the product you need to achieve the result you're going for, whether it's in beauty or home design or, you know, even in some of the luxury spaces, I feel like I get, you know, different results that aren't necessarily product focused. So with SEO, you know, I think you're not necessarily looking for the level of authority that you should be for AI, if that makes sense. So the PR placements and the other sites that can be connected back to yours through backlinking, that has a lot of weight from what we're understanding to see, you know, where ChatGPT or Google AI is going to pull up your brand or your product as a result.
So should we expect to see a boom in backlinking activity and PR and all those kind of things in the coming year?
I would say so, because the other part of AI right now, if you look at the content stream and how fast things are being written and published and put out, and I mean, obviously the volume of social media at the moment is outstanding. And so similar to, you know, quote unquote old SEO, the new SEO and this geo readiness, you can't have flimsy content that's more generic. It has to be dialed in for your brand and who you're trying to reach, and have that authority behind it, where this isn't a fluffy answer, right? Where it's like, this could work for what you want. Like, this is peanut butter if you want to make peanut butter and jelly. It has to be, this is the organic, non-GMO peanut butter that doesn't solidify but isn't too oily. And, you know, this is the right one for the sandwich you're making today. And it will fit in your lunchbox without, you know, like, you have to really get into it. Now, if you don't have, you know, five paragraphs about why this is the best peanut butter, will you still land? Yeah, you could. Absolutely. You have to define who you want to reach first before you go out putting together all this content.
There seems to be an element of cohesiveness about it as well. You know, it's like, yes, Google in the old world of SEO cared about your whole website, but it would overlook errors, if we call them that, you know, old irrelevant content. You know, maybe you used to do menswear, you don't do menswear anymore, but you've still got menswear content live on the website. AI, from my understanding, and you know far more about this than I do, so feel free to massively contradict me on this if you need to, but it seems like we need a tidier site, you know, that cohesively talks about what we actually do. And those of us who've been around for a while have a bit of a cleanup job necessary.
You're absolutely right. Because, so I've been through multiple website redesign projects. One of the bigger ones was over 15,000 pages in the last 5 years. And when you're going through the content, it depreciates the trust and the visibility if you're all over the place, right? You just look, there's a couple different expressions for it. It's not that it's messy. It's just that it's not refined, right? You have to really curate and think about who you want to target, right? Who do you want to serve, right? Who do you want to help? And so when I was giving a talk on this not too long ago, I was thinking about the differences we see across sites where the product names aren't consistent or the category names aren't consistent. Maybe it's mascara and eyeshadow here, and then it's eyeshadow and mascara there, right? So it's like flipped and things like that. And to your point before, it was so-so. It didn't really make a huge difference. It did have an impact, but it wasn't, you know, any sort of scale. Whereas now it does. I think it depreciates the credibility. I think that there's not enough room to make those sort of clumsy mistakes. I think, you know, when you can get all of the information put together and have, you know, the sort of credentials to go along with each product page, right? This is this product. Here's, you know, all the specifications and FAQ, right? Why customers pick this? Is it good for a rainy day? Is this good for summer heat? Is this good for, you know, high altitude? Whatever it is that your customer you're trying to reach, that's where we're kind of going with this. It does matter to have it be consistent and again, like a refined, more curated setup.
It feels as well like we need to do more on our existing pages to improve them than simply spin out new content. You mentioned FAQs. And I imagine there's on a lot of e-commerce businesses' to-do list this year is add FAQ, good FAQ, to every product page. Because it's not about having a separate FAQ anymore. It's about making sure they're right there on the correct product page, right?
Exactly. Yes. So with the current workflow that we use, there's four phases. And after the technical phase, phase one, phase two is looking at that content strategy. So you could do every product page. And I have seen some brands. They have done this. You will see it more and more. I actually notice it more and more, especially in the beauty pages where the FAQs are in there. And that's kind of where that example came from with the weather, right? Because if you're looking at different beauty products and traveling and all these sorts of things. So with their high value commercial pages, think like your top sellers, you could pick your top, you know, 3 to 5 products to start with. And that's where you'll start to see it come up more in LLMs. And ChatGPT, if it is a result in ChatGPT, what I'm seeing is the UTM is pulling that information through. So on your site and in your sources, you know, within your Google Analytics, you'll be able to see what's coming in from ChatGPT. And again, you could test pilot on 3 to 5 pages first and see, you know, how that resonates. And then again, like that content journey, thinking about who's coming to the site for this product, what problem does it solve, and making sure that you have the mid funnel and long tail keywords through your blog clusters and your product Q&A. And then, you know, again, going back into that EEAT. And if you have the opportunity to loop in some sort of PR placement or, you know, like a expert in the space, right? Some of our brands work with like clinicians and different people in the space that would have some say on whether or not this product is the right pick. That sort of information is very helpful.
Cool. So you said the first step, because we love a set of steps. First step was technical. Second step was content strategy. What are 3 and 4?
Great question. 3 is going to be the trust and visibility. So improving your branded entity signals, doing that authority building with PR and optimizing more content. So building on step 2, right? Going now thinking about maybe 10 high authority sites that you can get connected with, making sure your branding is consistent if you didn't already do that in step 2. You know, credibility is algorithmic. The AI systems are weighing based on signals of authority. So really step 3 is leaning more into the PR and elevating the brand and getting that acknowledged. Phase 4 is treating Gen AI like a new channel. So whenever a new channel emerges, maybe it's, you know, TikTok, Reddit, the Amazon search, those brands that are winning were those that moved early. So we have a lot of brands in the space now that are already, you know, put the work in and getting it to the ChatGPT results. And really, this earlier adoption is going to secure the brand visibility in the AI-driven recommendations. It's similar to SEO, right? Your older pages that were built correctly, you'd follow the right schema and have the right signals are going to do better than a new page you just spun up today. You can continue to test and learn, right? We are all watching to see what happens next. And then, you know, just trying to stay ahead of the releases. So, you know, with ChatGPT moving so quickly, and then, of course, Gemini's update, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to build on what we've already seen. But if you don't have a foundation in place, 2026 is going to be difficult. I mean, you're just going to have to hit the ground running.
And we completely glossed over the technical part. So I'm going to take you right back to technical. What are the key things we need to get right technically so we've got that foundation in place for all of this?
Yes. So the Core Web Vitals and the site speed, those are critical. You want to think about your load times. You know, in 2025, this isn't an issue for most sites. We do still come across some brands that we've audited where there's little oddities that can slow up the site, or maybe it's not something that a human would detect, but when it's being crawled, it comes up in our results. We also test on some pretty, you know, with some pretty stringent, you know, low, basically like a low bandwidth setting, and do some things too, because again, what we're doing for the bots is also good for humans. And some of these things are going to just elevate the site overall. So making sure the site's crawlable, and that's, you know, very, very basic. Then with the crawl signals now, you had mentioned, you know, if you have such a big site and it doesn't necessarily all have equal weight, there's going to be orphaned pages and opportunities to just improve efficiency. Like I said, better for humans, better for bots. If you have these pages that are just kind of out there and not necessarily connected back in, or maybe it's an old page. Over the holidays, I saw a lot of, you know, shipping detail pages that have broken, but somehow are coming up in Google results. So that's something that we'd clean up old site pages. And the structure of your site for AI readability has to line up. You have to look at the schema markup, think about your product pages, think about your FAQs and what that section would look like. It may look very aesthetically pleasing on a, you know, in your specific Shopify theme, but then if it's not able to crawl it, maybe some critical information is in an image and not in text. That's a big one. We find sorts of things like that when we audit. And then, of course, you know, the overall goal is to structure the data for the AI readability, just because that's where everything's going at this point. And we can enhance the schema for products, for FAQs, for templates, and just get the whole site up to speed on, you know, what we're seeing for AI placements.
I mean, I think a lot of people go, ooh, schema. But I mean, I suppose the good thing in the world of e-commerce is we're pretty much working off templates. You fix it once and it's sorted, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say a lot of the brands that we work with are in Shopify too. So we, you know, we could put together a long list of all the pages that need cleaned up. And then, like you said, you fix one area of the template, you're good to go. We can check these all off the list, and then we'll start to see a change in numbers.
Nice. Anything we've missed? I feel like we've done a lot. Is there any other key stuff that the audience listening should know if they're going to properly tackle generative engine optimization, GEO, next year?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, if you're just stepping into it, if you're just stepping into GEO, the biggest thing to understand is that AI systems don't look at your brand the way that Google traditionally does. And it's not about ranking pages. It's really evaluating the brand as a whole, the trust signals, and the clarity. So you have to work at the foundation first. You have to go through the technical piece, make sure your brand signals are consistent. Think of the product information in a structured way and be sure that your expertise is actually visible. I would say, you know, just thinking about Small Business Saturday over the weekend, you know, some of these brands are coming up. There's actually a partnership with Etsy and ChatGPT, to my knowledge. And, you know, if people are looking for a specific thing, maybe they're looking for something that's made in a specific area, having the story available is part of the brand. It's part of what AI will look for. You know, I feel like there's this resurgence in handmade gifts and some of those sorts of things where you know, if the data is not available, like the words, the story, and it just looks like data to AI, then you're not necessarily going to come up. But if you want AI to recommend you, you have to make it easy to understand who you are, why you're credible. And then if you start there, I think, you know, brands can build momentum quickly.
Nice. Well, look, Lisa, it's been brilliant picking your brains about geo optimization. Listeners, make sure you stay tuned even right to the end, because you do not want to miss out on Lisa's insider tips on all of this and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your businesses. Are you spending serious money on ads, but growth has slowed? You are not alone. You need to talk to Launch. Launch is the performance growth agency that's powered by happiness. They've helped brands like Weirdfish, Braemont, Crocus, Green People, and Fourth Glade Natural Dog Food to scale their advertising globally, measure it effectively, and drive new customer acquisition profitably. If your advertising has hit a plateau or your measurement needs some attention, Launch can help. Find out how by taking the Launch Growth Diagnostic at keepop.com/launch. That's L-A-U-N-C-H. With 12 questions, it takes just 3 minutes. No pitch, just useful insights. Launch, find what's broken, fix it, grow. Take the Launch Growth Diagnostic now at keepop.com/launch. Okay, Lisa, so far we've gone deep into geo-optimizing for AI search. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of customer acquisition. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with that, which of course does include all the things we've just been talking about. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's start with newbie advice. If we have inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Great question. For anyone that's taking their first step in digital marketing, whether you're in a college or university and building a business, or you've been in it for many years and you want to understand the digital marketing side better, especially SEO or this AI-driven search, my biggest advice would be don't chase tactics, right? So there's a lot of free advice on LinkedIn. There's a lot of free advice on blogs. ChatGPT will give you free advice. The issue is, you know, discernment and understanding how the foundation looks. So if you have, like I said, if you have a mature business or you're just starting out, understanding your customer deeply is going to be number one. So who are they? How do they search? What problem are they trying to solve right now? And once you've anchored on that, your strategy is going to become more clear. So when you see advice on LinkedIn or from ChatGPT, you're going to say, I don't know if this really applies because my product is the best for this kind of customer in this scenario. And that really makes the technology a tool instead of a distraction. So again, if you're scrolling through LinkedIn, it's like, oh, I have to do all these things. Not necessarily. Like, think about your brand, think about what's best for your brand, and you know, pull in someone who is in a similar space or has that sort of expertise. Again, if this was newbie advice, right? If you're just getting started. And I would say the other piece is, now once you've understood your customer and you've implemented some of these things strategically, right? You've said, okay, these are my top three products for these types of customers. We've added FAQs. This next step would be patience. SEO and AI visibility are compounding, right? So it takes time for these sorts of things to come through. And ultimately, consistency is going to be, you know, trying a number of different things and just sort of seeing what sticks. You do want to build from the foundation and watch your metrics over time.
Lovely. Okay. Once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
My favorite way to optimize performance is really looking for the highest leverage friction point. And there you could fix and measure again and see an immediate impact almost. So for most brands, that's either a technical bottleneck that's throttling visibility. You could have the best writers in the world, but if your technical setup is not correct for the bots to crawl, it's just not going to get found. So that's something that needs to be handled. Or it could be a content mismatch. So, you know, if a customer is actually needing one thing and the brand is saying another, it's just not going to line up. Like I said, if you are the best product for it, but you're not explaining that well, this is an opportunity to fix that situation. And this can almost always unlock performance faster than adding new tactics on top, right? Just throwing things on and looking at some of these quick, you know, quick hits, quick win sort of options.
If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I do have a resource that I can share. So there's actually a geo readiness checklist. Maybe we can get that in the show notes. So it's a 10-step checklist, and it does cover the items that I talked about today that's in our 4-step process. I'd love to share that. And you could also look at Google Search Quality Rater guidelines. It's a much tougher read, I'm to be honest, but it does outline the signals that AI systems depend on. And then you could also, you know, go through that to see how your SEO can be improved overall.
Nice. Three juicy things to get stuck into there, everybody. Finally, Lisa, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
The brands that win will be the ones that AI engine sees the safest, clearest, most trustworthy answers. If you're not optimizing for that ecosystem now, you're definitely going to feel it next year. And I would say that the next 6 to 12 months are going to be defined by AI attribution becoming a measurable channel. There is a lot of speculation and I would say opportunity in ads in the future for ChatGPT results. And we're already seeing partnerships with Shopify and ChatGPT. There are wait lists for brands to start getting seen. There's Shopify dev resources about schema and markup. And it's just getting more entwined in the day-to-day search for consumers. And so I would see more structured product integrations, and especially, again, as OpenAI and Google's partnering with e-commerce brands and more so the commerce platforms themselves, right? We've seen a couple of tests already, and the brands that win are really looking at AI as this new distribution channel, right? And it's not just a search engine. And so 2026 would be the year to get your structure correct, get your content aligned with that conversational intent, and then build your entity authority, because everything is just going to build on top of that.
Love that answer. Thank you, Lisa. We are very nearly at the end of the show, though. So can you please let the listeners know where they can get in touch with you and your business?
Excellent. Yes, of course. You can find me on LinkedIn. That'll be linkedin.com/in/Lisa Wendland. You can find out more about Blue Wheel at bluewheelmedia.com. And if you have any questions about geo, SEO, customer acquisition, you can certainly reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to connect and talk more about what's working in the digital space.
Very cool. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your super clear advice. We really appreciate it. So thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Chloe. So great to be here.
Love how Lisa makes dealing with the geo opportunity seem so straightforward. Yes, it's a lot of work, but it's not mysterious, is it? It's pretty straightforward. And she was taking us through in a very randomized order, which is my fault. But she's taking us through the technical things to get right first around site speed, getting rid of those orphans and dodgy pages on the site, and make sure you've got the AI readability in place. That's things like schema, et cetera, et cetera. Secondly, content strategy. Content, content, content. Who is the person you're trying to appeal to, and do you have the content that they want to receive? That's getting into those FAQs, blog content, et cetera, et cetera. Number three, trust and visibility. We're talking PR, authority, customer reviews, more content, all that kind of stuff that proves that you to the AI bot are the person who should be being featured in that snippet at the top of the search results, in those comments on the AI chats, and eventually those links coming through to your site. And then four, understanding that Gen AI is a new channel and we need to give it the strategic not rather than tactical and patience that we need to. Great top tips there as well. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, our notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the right page of the website. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you want to dive deeper into the latest geo and SEO advice, head to keepopt.com/SEO, which is on the website where we've got all our geo and SEO episodes. And we will also be doing a whole deep dive into it in the first half of next year. So keep your ears peeled for that one. Now, as all of our 5 episodes about customer acquisition are now live, it's time to make sure you've listened to them all. So just scroll up your podcast feed to hear them all. Our next masterclass topic will be, drumroll please, WhatsApp. Yes, we are kicking off 2026 with a brand new topic for the show. Make sure you tune in 2 Wednesdays' time to catch the start of our new dive into all things WhatsApp. Yes, no episode next week, so you've got time to catch up on any episodes you missed from this series, our customer acquisition series, and re-listen to any that you need to or share with your team, and then put it all into action. And that is the most important bit. No point in listening to this if you're not taking action. So make sure you're subscribed to us or following us on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss out. And if you know someone who's particularly interested in improving their customer acquisition or WhatsApp, please do tell them that's the stuff we're covering, because this show exists to help you and them improve your marketing. Have a great week, and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Take the launch growth diagnostic now at keepopt.com/launch. With 12 questions, it takes just 3 minutes. No pitch, just useful insights. keepopt.com/launch.